Our gospel reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'd like to invite children forward to come join me for a children's message down here on the floor. I saw some of you earlier today, so you wouldn't be too scared of me, but come on down. All right, good morning. Thank you guys for coming. You guys fill up the whole step up here. This is excellent. Yeah, can you see me down there? I want to talk to you about a story that Pastor Jonathan read this morning. Do you remember what that story was about? Yes. David and Goliath, that's right. And I think you talked about it in Sunday school today as well. Those that were in Sunday school, you talked a little bit about that. What happens in the story? Who's David? Do you remember? Yeah, brave person. That's a good quality to recognize right off the bat. He's very brave. What else?
A shepherd boy.
Yeah, he took care of sheep. He was a little shepherd boy. Any other things you remember about David? One thing I heard in the reading today that I think it's important that we all hear is that in Samuel it says David was only a youth. So a young boy, and when they say only a youth, it almost makes it sound like, oh, poor David, he's only a youth. He's not as important as older people or bigger people. Well, I don't know about you, but I think youth are important too. Do you? Do you think kids are important? Yeah, you should. You're here as a kid in church, definitely. Yeah, David was only a youth. He was a little boy. But what did he do? Who was Goliath? Can you tell me something about Goliath? Yeah. Do you remember? Was Goliath big or small?
Very big.
Not just big, very big. He was a giant. He was the biggest soldier in the Philistine army. These Philistines, it was a big, scary, powerful army that the Israelites, God's chosen people, they were afraid of the Philistines. And they were especially afraid of Goliath, this big, giant soldier that the Philistines had. Well, I want to teach you guys a song about what happened. My mom was a Sunday school music teacher when I was growing up, so she has sometimes blessed, sometimes cursed me with all these songs that run through my head all the time. So I read a Bible story or I see something. We were driving yesterday and saw the sunbeams and I couldn't help but start singing, "Jesus wants me for a sunbeam." All these songs keep popping into my head. So I know a story about David. It goes like this. Only a boy named David, only a little sling. Only a boy named David, but he could pray and sing. Can you sing that with me? Let's try it. Only a boy named David, only a little sling. Only a boy named David, but he could pray and sing. Only a boy named David, then only a little brook. Only a boy named David, and five little stones he took. Then he put one stone in the sling, and the sling went round and round. Can you do that? He put one stone in the sling, and the sling went round and round. Here's the fun part. And round and round and round and round and round and round and round. The stone hit the giant in the head, and Goliath came tumbling down. So that tells us some of the story about David. Only a youth, a little boy, but he was able to beat and defeat the giant Goliath. Do you know how he was able to do that? How did David do it?
With God's help.
Exactly, with God's help. David trusted God. And David, only a little boy, was able to defeat the big, the mighty Goliath. Well, I want you all to know something today. Today we're talking about stewardship. We're talking about giving of ourselves to support God's ministry and work through the church. Well, I don't want you all to hear all that and think, oh, that's just for the adults. It's just adults that do those things, that support the church and are involved in the ministry of the church. You guys are just as important as the adults. Don't let anyone tell you you're only youth. Because think what David felt when someone said, oh, you're only a youth. You just go back home. You can't do anything here. He defeated Goliath. God can use each and every one of you in powerful ways in the ministry here. One way we're talking about today is through financially supporting the congregation. You guys, I saw Mary walking with an offering box for your Sunday school. You guys can give an offering as well. And if someone sees you put a quarter in there, don't let them say, oh, it's only a quarter. A quarter can do great things, just like David could do great things against Goliath. Because David had faith and trust in God. And when we give, and when we have faith and trust in God, everything that we give can do great things as well. So as you hear us talk today about stewardship and about giving to the ministry of the church, don't think it's just for adults. It's for all of us. And you guys can do great things, and God will do great things through you when you're trusting God and following God. So when you hear the story of David, remember that about yourselves as well, that God is calling you and using you and blessing you to do great things. All right, let's say a prayer. Dear God, we thank you so much for your faithfulness in our lives, that we as children would not see ourselves as only youth, but we would see ourselves as children of God that have power to do great things when we trust in you. Please bless these children and their efforts and all they do to support this church and to share you with others. And Lord, just please guide and keep them safe on their journeys, that you would surround them with others who trust and follow you. Thank you for the opportunity to sing and to pray and to worship together with you. In your name we pray. Amen. Another good song that sticks in my head as well. I'll sing that to my kids sometimes when they're waking up and they're not too pleased to hear a cheerful morning song in the mornings. Well, welcome to you all. Thank you for welcoming me here today. It is a joy to be here and to be worshiping with you. It's a joy and a privilege. And for one reason, I think, is because me being here reminds us and it reminds the community that we're not just a bunch of individual churches scattered across the town, but we are the church. We are a church together, proclaiming the same gospel and committing our lives and our work to the same mission. And it is a joy to be doing this. Like you heard earlier, Siobhan is at Faith Lutheran on my behalf. And that's a great way for them to see as well, this partnership. She's been there for a while, actually. We have an 8:15 service in the morning, so it really is a joy for me to be here with you today. I got to sleep in a bit. It's also been a joy to be here because when you were in your interim period, looking to call a pastor, your pastoral nominating committee invited me to come and to share with them from the perspective of someone who had recently been interviewed and called to a church. So if I can think that God used me in even the slightest way to help bring Pastor Jonathan here, it's an honor to be here with you today as well. And it's also been a joy and privilege to work with the team that's been working on the new Consecration Sunday material the last couple of months. So we've had a lot of fun together, and it's been a great, great group to work with. Well, I've been asked to talk with you today and walk with you a little bit as well on a stewardship journey. Stewardship really is a journey. It's something that we grow into spiritually. Giving, no matter what we give, is a spiritual practice. It's an opportunity for us to grow in our relationship with God and in our ministry in the world. But stewardship is often, I think, a misunderstood term. A lot of times when we hear stewardship, we think that it's just the church asking us for money. But trust me, that's not what it's about. Delete that from your hard drive as soon as you can. Stewardship is quite simply and quite fully the act of caring for that which God has given to us. Simply caring for that which God has given to us. Over the past couple of months, you've had newsletter articles and you've had some special announcements and sermons helping you all discover more fully, more deeply what stewardship is. How do we care for and use that which God has given to us? And today it's my turn. Today I get to be here and to share with you. Well, today I want to talk to you about stewardship and how it relates to two different stones. One, a precious and priceless gem, and the other, just a common and ordinary stone. Well, first I'll share about the precious gem. There once was a woman who was out working in a field, and she was working the ground, tilling the soil, and she saw something sparkling down there in the soil. So she got down on her hands and knees, and she dug it up, and she pulled from the ground this priceless and precious gem. And she was so excited because she was poor, and she knew that this priceless and precious gem would change her life forever. And so she started skipping back home, and her feet were hardly touching the ground. She was so excited. When along came a man who was begging for food. And she didn't have much, but she wanted to share what she had. So she walked over to the man and opened up her bag to give him some food. Well, he looked in the bag, and he saw something sparkle as well. He saw that priceless and precious gem, and he got excited. He thought if he only had this gem, then his life would be changed forever as well. He would never want for food or for shelter. So he asked the woman if she'd be willing to give him the gem instead. Well, to his surprise, she said yes. She gave him the gem, and he left skipping down the road as well, feet not even touching the ground. He was so elated, so thrilled. He knew that this gem would change his life. Well, the next day, the woman, now walking back to the field to go back to work, to work the soil again, the man approached her again. And he approached her, he returned, and he handed her the gem back. And she was confused. She was surprised, and she said, "Why are you giving this back to me?" And the man told her, "I've come back in search of something that is far more valuable than money or riches, far more valuable than a priceless and precious gem. I've come back to seek what it is that you have that allowed you to give this away." A powerful story, I think, that helps us reflect on and think about generosity. The man recognized that it wasn't the gem that was valuable, but it was the generosity that the woman had in being able to give that gem away. My favorite definition of the term generous is this: making something possible that wasn't possible before. When we are acting generously, we're making something possible that wasn't possible before. And in the story, it's not the gem that is the treasure, but it's the attitude of generosity. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6 to not store up for ourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and thieves break in and steal, but there is a greater treasure, the treasure of our hearts, the generous attitude to give in a way that makes things possible that weren't possible before. Well, today as we gather for our new Consecration Sunday, we're to ask ourselves the question later on when we have our commitment cards: what percentage of my income is God asking me to give? Well, I can't answer that question for you, but I do know that God calls each and every one of us to be generous in making things possible that weren't possible before, and not exclusively with money, but with all sorts of things. God asks us and calls us to live generous lives, to offer our time and our gifts and our very selves in ways that bless others and make things possible that weren't possible before. And God calls us to this generous nature by first and foremost being generous with us. We just gathered this morning to confess our sins and in the waters of baptism. We were forgiven. We're given new life. A generous God makes life possible that was not possible before. And God gives us everything, all that we have. God even gave God's self on a cross, that we would have life that would not be possible before. Well, now on to this normal stone that I've got here. I've got four children at home. Marilyn, our daughter, is 10, and we've got three boys. Benin is 8, Rigby is 5, and Lewis is 2. So bedtimes are a lot of fun, getting everyone together and clean and in bed and asleep. It's about a two-hour process sometimes. But we have some routines, and my wife Karen will read to Benin and Rigby, the 8 and 5-year-old. They share a room together. And when they're done, they like to listen to the Jesus Storybook Bible on CD, a whole bunch of Bible stories they listen to. Well, if it's not too late, and I tell them if they've been especially good that day, then we'll go ahead and take time and we'll act out one of the stories. I like acting out some of the stories for them. And my favorite story to act out for them is The Young Shepherd and the Horrible Giant. David and Goliath, if you haven't figured that out. Well, you all know the story. We heard about it a little bit today. David is this little shepherd boy, and Goliath, this giant Philistine warrior, their prize warrior. And in the story, the Philistines are gathered on one hill, on one side, all big and scary, and the Israelites are gathered on the other hill, just cowering in fear, so intimidated by the Philistines and the giants. So every day, Goliath would approach the Philistines with his big feet, stomp, stomp, stomp. He would call out, "Send me your best soldier to fight me. If he wins, we will be your slaves. But if you win, we will be your slaves." And every day, the Israelites respond with silence, just cowering in fear. They can't imagine what they're going to do. How could they be a match for Goliath? So Goliath listens to their silence and calls out to them, "Chickens!" I'm not sure what version of the Bible this is from, but I think it's appropriate. "Chickens," Goliath says, "your God can't save you. I'll rip off your heads and eat them on toast." Now, the Bible is not rated G, in case you haven't noticed that. And apparently neither is the children's storybook Bible. I think they get a little graphic sometimes. But then David comes along, this youngest son of Jesse, only a youth, as we heard with the children today. David comes along and he sees the big Goliath and the Philistines, and he sees the Israelites cowering there, and he says, "Don't be afraid, I'll fight him for you," with a big smile on his face. Well, King Saul says, but you're only a little boy, you're only a shepherd. There's no way that you could be a match for Goliath. And David very confidently says, "God will help me." And so Saul takes all of his armor and puts it onto David. I heard the kids talking about this in Sunday school today. But the armor was so incredibly heavy that David could hardly even walk. There's no way he could even move under all this armor. So he takes off all the armor and says, "I won't need this." And he goes and he picks up a stone. Just five little simple stones from the stream bed there on the ground. And David walks towards Goliath, step, step, step. And Goliath walks towards David, stomp, stomp, stomp. And Goliath peers down at David and says, "You?" David looks up Goliath. "I'm little, but God is great." And so Goliath looks at David and starts to laugh. This is really fun in their bedroom as they're trying to get them calmed down to go to sleep. "You can't fight me, little boy." But then David kept on going. He approached Goliath and said, "It isn't how strong you are or how many swords or spears you have that will save you. It is God who saves you. This is God's battle, and God always wins God's battles." So David puts a stone in his sling, slings it around and around, and around and around and around, and it flies through the air, across, and hits Goliath right between the eyes. And he stumbles, and he staggers, and crash, falls down dead on the ground. Well, when the Philistines see that the Israelites have won, they're all afraid, and they're running away, they're running for their lives. And the Israelites are cheering, and they start dancing and going crazy. And we do a dance, but I'm not going to share the dance here in church. It's going to stay in Rigby and Bennon's room. Well, what a great story this is of David and Goliath. And every time I act it out, the part that just really strikes me every time is when David takes off the king's armor and says to Goliath, "It isn't how strong you are or how many swords or spears that will save you. It is God who saves you. This is God's battle, and God always wins God's battles." David has this deep, deep trust. Right away, the kids recognize David is brave, but David has this deep, deep trust in God. David trusts that God is a generous God. God is a generous God who makes things possible that weren't possible before. As David walked up to Goliath, sling in hand and with the stone, he trusted that God would provide for him, that God would make something possible, would make victory possible when it wouldn't seem like it would have been possible before. And David then responded generously as well by standing up so he would go ahead and face Goliath. David responded in generosity, making something possible that wasn't possible before. So today I want us to just reflect on these two stones, the precious and priceless gem and the ordinary stone from David and Goliath. And again, at a later time in today's worship service, we'll be asked, what percentage of my income is God asking me to give? And again, I can't answer that question for you, but I am here to remind you to trust. To trust with a trust like David's, that something that would seem so little can do so much. So much can be done when we put our trust in God and when we trust that our battles belong to the Lord and God always wins God's battles. And I encourage you also to know that it doesn't matter how many swords or spears you have, like David said. It doesn't matter how much money you have in your bank account or how many IRAs or how many stocks or CDs. It is God who saves you. David knew that his battle with Goliath was God's battle, and God always wins God's battles. So when you give, make sure you give with a trust. Give with a trust and a confidence that you are never alone, that God is walking with you, and that the battle belongs to the Lord, and God always wins God's battles. When you give, give with a trust of God's faithfulness, a trust that God is always by your side. And when you give, give generously. Generously in the sense of making things possible that weren't possible before. And knowing that the treasure is not in the gift, but the treasure is truly in the giving. Amen.